flying anywhere. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody getting to their Sunday school classes this morning? Be praying for these kids when they go back to Sunday school class too. Be praying for the teachers and be praying for them that they get something out of the Word of God. You're never too young to get something out of the Word of God. I know some people think that it's not that important, but some of the best lessons I learned was looking at them little flannel things that they had back in the day when I was a young kid. I remember all the Bible stories. I remember all learning the books of the Bible. I learned all those from, you know, K-4 on up to first grade or so. I learned Bible verses in Sunday school class, and it helps you when you get older. You remember some of that stuff, and you act like maybe it kind of leaves you a little bit, and it might some, but it'll be amazing how later on in life you'll sit there and go, I remember them talking about that when I was in Sunday school class, and the lasting impressions that they can put on you. So definitely be praying for them and the teachers. I saw this quote earlier this week and thought it was pretty good. It says, the modern church is producing passionate people with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well. And I thought that was really, really good, because that's exactly what they're doing in the world today. The church, everybody goes to church now and they go to these big churches that want to tell you how good of a person that you are, right? They want to tell you how great you are, how wonderful you are, but they don't want to teach you anything that's in the actual Word of God. They just want to kind of say whatever you think is fine. That's being like every other church, right? That's not being any different. And then you end up having a problem, because then later on in life you realize nobody really knows what the Word of God is anymore, nobody knows how to serve Jesus anymore, and nobody knows how to preach it anymore. And we're in that world right now. We're in that world right now. It's hard to find preachers. It's difficult. And people don't seem to get bothered by it anymore. As long as you get somebody that's real charismatic that can bring in a crowd, that's all they care about. When did we get away from what was important was the Word of God? Whether the crowd was big or small or whatever it was, where did we get away from that? That should be the most important thing that you're looking at, is the Word of God. Is it taught? Is it preached? Do they preach sound doctrine? We're going to get into some of that this morning in my sermon. Do they still preach sound doctrine? Do they still believe that there's an infallible and inerrant Word of God? Because that's gone away. You go to any mega church right now, and I guarantee you, they ain't preaching out of this one right here. That is not. And then you sit there and you watch these little kids go back, and they're the next generation. And these churches are teaching them the same things. So they have no basis on what they believe when they get to be our age. They have no idea what they believe in. All they know is whatever that guy says standing up in the pulpit must be right. Right? That's the way that it works. That's the reason why I stress to you so often, and I will continue to stress it. You have to study it for yourself. Just because I say it doesn't mean you have to believe it. Okay? You don't have to agree with me on everything. We went through some stuff last week that was probably a little bit different. It's different from what you've always heard. Is it wrong? No. Do you have to agree with it all? No. You don't have to agree with it all. But guess what? You have to study it. You can't just say, well, the other preacher didn't do it that way. Because it don't matter what the other preacher did. It matters, did you study to show thyself approved unto God? That is what matters the most. So when you go through things like dispensations, you have to understand that dispensations is a biblical thing. We looked at that last week. The word dispensation is in the Bible. It's not something that somebody just made up. It's in the Word of God. Why? Because he wants you to know how to rightly divide it and put things in its place. Why? If you don't, then you're going to be confused at some point in time down the road. A perfect example. I would have said a friend, but I'm not going to say a friend today. An acquaintance of mine that I met through singing. He sang with a local group in somewhere in Tennessee. And he was a good guy. We didn't agree biblically on hardly anything, though. He didn't believe that the infallible inerrant word of God was the King James Bible, so we didn't agree on that and some doctrinal things. Of course, if you don't believe the Bible, then you're going to have some doctrinal things that kind of break down after that. It's just how that works. So we kind of disagreed on some biblical things. Well, he got called to preach. And I say that loosely, okay? And I say it loosely because I don't believe if you preach out of the Word of God that you're not really a preacher, okay? That's my opinion on that. If you ain't preaching out of the Word of God, you ain't much of a preacher. You're just a good spokesman. So I sit there, and last night he had been posting for like the past 6 months on different things, and he's on this, how many people know Greg Locke? Amen. Hallelujah. Only a few of you. Greg Locke doesn't say all bad things, okay? He's got some pretty good political views and things I might agree with, but doctrinally, that man is screwed up. He is messed up. It just don't fit. It's kind of like John MacArthur. John MacArthur's doctrine is so backwards because he believes in a Calvinistic doctrine. He's the main guy when it comes to Calvinism right now. But John MacArthur also, during COVID, was one person that stood up and actually said, hey, we still have the right to worship in a church. And he was right in that statement. And I appreciate him standing up for something and saying, hey, we still have the right to worship in church. And he was in California and did it. And he didn't back down from it. So everybody that may not be completely doctrinally sound doesn't mean they don't say good stuff. But just because they say good stuff don't mean you need to jump on their bandwagon and act like everything they say is great either. You got to look past just some of the surface things that they post on Facebook that sounds good because they vote for the same president you vote for. It's got to be deeper than that. You got to look at their whole thing. So he posted a post on Facebook. Posted a post. I don't know if that's right. He posted something on Facebook. And he went over to Acts in verse 2, or chapter 2 in verse 38, where Peter's sitting there. Well, let's just look at it. Acts 2, verse 38. It kind of goes along with what I'm going to talk about this morning. He posted this. He posted Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we know that's not our dispensation, right? You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're saved. The water don't make you any more saved. It just makes you wet. That's what it is. It's a picture. It's a good thing to do. It's a great thing to do. I believe in it, okay? But I don't believe that it saves you at all. But he goes over and he says, thankful for pastors who still stand by Acts 2:38. And as soon as they're saved, they put them in the water. And I thought, well, that's wrong. Now, for the past 6 months, I've watched these posts come up, and I've seen them, and I've seen all the things that he said, and I finally, last night, I had enough, because I've studied my stuff for Sunday school, my dispensation, so I had enough, finally. It kind of just, it hit me wrong. And I usually don't jump on those bandwagons, and my wife said that I shouldn't have done that, but I said, you know, I had enough of it, though. Somebody needs to tell somebody what truth is. And I said, plainly, that that's not in this dispensation. And it's not. And I quoted a few scriptures for him. And I told him that he needed to consider what Paul said in 2 Timothy. I told him that he needed to look at 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He needed to rightly divide the word of truth. I said, because if you don't, you're going to make people think that something that they do has something to do with their salvation, when it's all about what God did. It's all about what God did. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You can't do enough good. You can't do enough things. You can't get dunked enough times to take away the sins of the world. Do you understand that? The remission of sins. Repent. We take that one and we kind of have liberty when we repent. You should have a repentance heart. But guess what? You can't get down at this altar and say, God, forgive me for this, for this, for this, for this, for this, for this, for this. Why? Because you will forget something that you did. You'll forget something that you've done. You can't ask for repentance enough to get saved. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for them past, He died for them present, and He died for them future. He covered all of them. Is it good to be repentant? Yes, but what's repentance for? It's for your relationship with Jesus Christ, not for your salvation. A repentant heart and actually going down and saying, I got to repent for these sins, is two totally different things. And people really get that messed up somewhere. Don't make salvation be more complicated than what it is. It's not that complicated. My four-year-old is understanding it. And it just makes me so excited. You mean to tell me, Daddy, that He would just die on the cross for me? Yeah, He would. He would die on the cross just for you. Because He loves you that much. Because He loved you that much. But sometimes we try to make it more complicated because we want to have something to do with it, right? We've got to make it something of ourselves. And that's what they're doing when they go to Acts 2 and verse 38. So I decided, after he laughed at my comment, that doesn't make anybody mad, right? Just making sure we was all good, hardcore men here. Laughed at my comment, told me that that was heresy. I said, actually, it's heresy to try to put something in the wrong dispensation is what's heresy. I said, okay, if you're going to take Acts 2:38, by this time, we have made it past Facebook post, and we're in a private message group now. It's done got serious. I said, if that's the case, I said, what do you do with Acts 2 and verse, I think it's somewhere around 44. Start reading 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had needed. I said, so you gave all your stuff up, right? He said, excuse me? I said, you gave all your stuff up, right? Because if you're going to go with Acts 2:38, then why not take 2:44? Well, that's, it's different now. Now we're in a different dispensation. We changed in just a few verses right there. It split it somewhere right in there. It didn't split because of Peter and Paul preaching something different. It split when Peter decided to change and say, hey, I'm still under the apostles' doctrine. That's what he said a few verses before that, right? I don't know if y'all ever read it. You ought to read Acts. It'd be good. It's a transitional book. It's a historical book. It would do some good to study it. You'll learn something. And you'll even see the transition. It doesn't really take a whole real smart person to read Acts and go, oh, that's where it is. Oh, that's where Paul came in. Oh, now I get it. I understand the Jew first and also to the Greek, and I understand now that, hey, it's just to everybody. It ain't to the Jew first anymore. Because in Acts chapter 2, he starts talking about, hey, signs and wonders. And who needed signs and wonders? Jews. Not you. He said, you seek after wisdom, right? That's different. I don't go outside and go, I think I need to be saved. And God, if you send a lightning bolt right here in front of me, I'll believe it. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. I don't have to have signs and wonders. But you see, when something comes up like that in Facebook or whatever in your life, you need to be able to know how to give some answers back. And you may not know all the answers, and that's fine. I don't know all the answers. Shocker, right? Preacher actually says he doesn't know everything. I study a lot. I've been in the Word of God for a long time. I feel like I know a good bit, but I don't know everything. But guess what I'm doing? I'm still studying. You need to be the same way. You still need to be studying the Word of God. I want you to be dispensationally sound, okay? I really do. I want you to understand dispensations, because it will open up the Bible for you so much better. It's not just something that you sit there and go, well, it makes it where things don't fit the way that I've always heard. Yeah, they may not fit the way you've always heard them, but guess what? They're going to fit better. It's going to be better now, because you can actually open up the Word of God and say, hey, I know what's to me and I know what's for me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I told you last week, there's such thing as too much of a good thing. You can be a hyper-dispensationalist. Those are cool people. Take Romans through Philemon's and you can just trash the rest of it. That's absurd, right? I would say so. Why? Because even in the law, it teaches you how to live a good life. I don't live by the law, and I don't use the law for my salvation, but it does tell you what is right and what is wrong. It'll keep you in check. I've said this before. If you wanted to live by the law, you know you'd be a lot healthier person, right? If you didn't eat all them unclean meats and all that kind of stuff, you know, it'd make you a lot healthier person. I'm just saying, you ain't got to, because I don't either, but you'd be a lot ahead of the game. There's a reason why they did certain things. The law is not all bad. You just have to know where to put it. I understand there's application when you get into a tribulational period of time. I understand that. Hebrews through Revelation, I understand that. There's application in there. You can use a lot of that stuff. We talk about James, right? We've been on that little thing for a little while. Guess what? There's a lot of application in James. It's not to this dispensation, but there's a lot of application to be put in this dispensation. You understand that, right? Faith is all over James. And we've talked about this before. Faith, your faith doesn't save you. Why? Because your faith wavers, right? Okay? So your faith wavers. So it's got to be what? God's faith. Now, some people can't really grasp that. But when you grasp it, man, your salvation is going to be good. I mean, you're going to be like, wow, that was incredible. Because it's God's faith. It's all about God. But guess what? After you're saved, your faith should increase, right? It should get more and more and more and more. You're still going to have moments that it wavers, because that's your nature. You're going to have a bad day, and guess what? You're going to wake up and say, no, I don't know if that's right. God, I mean, it can't. And that faith is going to waver, right? But the closer to God you are, the more faith you should have. I think about Thomas's daddy. He goes through a lot of stuff, and he's just wanting to go sing and praise God. That's a lot of faith. That's probably a moment in that whole surgery that maybe he sat back and go, this might be it. This might not turn out well. And we don't know. We only know what he said. And he may have been faithful to everybody else, but in his mind, you don't know what was going through his mind. But I believe he had enough faith to know that God was going to take care of it, however. Winner either way. If he goes, or if he stays. If he stays, he gets to keep on living life, right? Gets to enjoy his grandkids, gets to enjoy his son, which I don't know how you enjoy that, but gets to keep on enjoying it. Gets to enjoy the things that he's been doing. Gets to praise Jesus a little bit more. Gets to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, right? So he gets to keep doing that. But if he goes, guess what? It's far better. He had something to look forward to. Either way. So when I see posts like that on Facebook, it just gets on my nerves. And I will say this. He unfriended me last night. And not only did he unfriend me, can you believe this? He blocked me from his page. I searched for 30 minutes trying to find him again and couldn't find him. I told Leslie, I was like, I'm going to show you what I posted on this thing. And she was like, I don't really care to see it. I was like, I know you don't, but you're going to look at it anyway. I'm not that desperate for it. No, it struck me funny last night that all that happened. This morning we're going to get off of that a little bit, and we're going to start talking a little bit more about dispensations. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We've talked a little bit about the breakdowns in dispensations over the past few weeks, kind of like the preliminary side of dispensations. And this week we're going to start in talking about the spokesmen in the different dispensations. Hebrews chapter 1. God gave his message to a spokesman. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The spokesman, in turn, gives God's message to the world. God requires the world to listen to the spokesman he has chosen for each time period. A spokesman during one period does not necessarily carry God's entire message for any other time period. Thus, following the wrong spokesman during any time period is as dangerous as ignoring the right one. I want you to really understand that. Following the wrong spokesman during any time period is as dangerous as ignoring the right one. You see, you have to follow the right spokesman. If you don't, you're going to be confused at some point in time. You're going to take things out of context. You are going to take things and you're going to put them in the wrong dispensation. You're going to try to make things fit that don't fit in the church age, which is the dispensation you live in. God's spokesmen are required in the following, God's spokesmen are presented in the following order based on the five basic divisions given to you in the chart that I printed out for you a few weeks ago. And the way we're going to look at them is you had the section A, section B, C, D, E. You had all the sections. You remember that? I don't know if anybody still got that thing. But that's the way the sections are worked out. For this study, we're going to try to do the spokesmen of the Old Testament, which is section A, spokesmen of the Gospels. Then we're going to go to the spokesmen of the readiness and tribulation and millennium area. And then we're going to jump back and go to the spokesmen during the book of Acts. And then we'll go to the spokesmen of the church age at the very end. The reason why I'm going to separate it out like that is because I want to discuss the church age spokesman at the very end. I want to be that the last thing that you kind of get in your mind, because that is the dispensation that we live in at this moment in time. So that's the reason why I'm going to kind of divide it out a little bit that way. So if you are looking at the chart, if you're keeping up with that chart, know that I am going to skip. It's not going to be in the same order that we've done everything else in. Spokesmen of the Old Testament. Some examples of the Old Testament spokesmen include Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. Anybody got any more? Y'all dead, right? I already said him. I said Noah. I think I got all the common ones. No, that's, and there's plenty of other ones, but those are the few of them. Each of these men received a particular God-given message, and as God's spokesman presented that message to the world. The Bible says the Holy Ghost led the spokesman. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That right there is a lot of difference in your Bible and everything else that people read nowadays. This stuff was given to man by God, who moved them. Who moved them, okay? God led them. God directed them. It wasn't just the man. It was God directing the man, okay? Those living during the Old Testament time had to listen to God's chosen spokesman in order to know his expectation of humanity. If a man or a woman did not listen to God's spokesman, that individual neglected to do so at his own risk. What would you have done, or what would have been the wisest thing you could have done if you had lived in one of these time periods? Let's see if anybody can get, because there's only two choices. There's only two things you could have done if you had lived in this time period. What would it have been? Following the law. Anybody else? There's only two choices. Exactly. Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to go, hey, there it is. You only had two choices. Either you follow the spokesman or you don't follow the spokesman. Right? Either you're going to do what God commanded to do or you're going to go against what God commanded you to do. Right? There's only two choices that you have. Of course, anytime a man follows God's spokesman, he displays his willingness to obey God and his leadership, although through a man. It is always best to have listened to God's spokesman. Let's look at a few of these men in detail. First, we're going to look at Noah. Noah is one of the earliest spokesmen in the Bible. He preached about a coming flood. If you had been on the earth when the spokesman Noah warned others about the flood, what would you have done? You'd either got on the boat or not, right? You would have either listened to the God spokesman and the message that God gave him for you and entered the ark, or you would have rejected the message of God's messenger. The Bible reveals clearly that most people rejected the message of God's spokesman and perished in the flood. Eight persons entered the ark, including Noah. The continual rejection of God's spokesman throughout time clearly indicates that man does not learn from history. I thought about this last night because I was reading back through notes. What do you think you really would have done? You take the person you are right now, okay? The person you are right now. And you see old crazy Noah building this big boat. Okay, no, it has never rained. Grasp that for a second, because it feels like it ain't never going to rain again here. Grasp it. It ain't never rained. The human you are right now, the person you are right now, Noah's up there preaching it saying, hey, you better get right. There's coming a flood. And he's going to destroy the whole thing. And I made a boat big enough for everybody to get on it. If we got to leave some animals out, guess what? There's plenty of room for everybody that wants to get on it. That's what he's preaching. I don't know if y'all have ever really grasped that or not. It wasn't about the animals. It was about the people. You get too hung up on the animals. God could have created new animals, folks. It was about the people. And you see a picture there of salvation, right? It's not the same gospel. But ain't that amazing, even in a different dispensation? You're still seeing how God works. Hey, come unto me. Come on. He does the same thing nowadays, right? He sits there and says, hey, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? It's a free gift of salvation, and it's unto you. But it's only upon them that believe. So you have to accept it. You have to take this free gift of salvation, and if you don't, you're going to die and go to hell. It's the same type of message that Noah's preaching in this day and age. He's saying, hey, if you get on the boat, you're going to be saved. But if you don't, you will drown. You will die. Shark bait, whale bait, whatever other kind of bait it was. I can imagine as the rain started falling, everybody's trying to get to that boat. Boy, I can just imagine it. I can imagine that when the door shut, they were clawing at the wood trying to get in that boat. Exactly. When Jesus Christ comes back, guess what? It's over. Ain't no hope for you. If that scares you, it ought to. It ought to. I hope it terrifies you. I hope it terrifies you all the way down to the altar right here. You say, well, you can't get saved in Sunday school class, but you can get saved in the middle of Sunday school class. If you think for 1 minute that I won't stop what I'm doing, somebody else can take over. I got notes up there. Just read them. Go for it. Have yourself a time. Or you can just get around and pray for them too. That'd be good too, wouldn't it? There's coming a day that that door is going to shut for the last time. You ain't going to get in. That's what Noah's preaching. And what did God do? God did exactly what he said. He brought a great flood. He told Noah to preach to him, and he did. Noah did his job as the spokesman in that dispensation, and he preached that flood was coming. He preached that the only salvation you've got is to get on this boat. That's the only chance you've got is to get on this boat. And he kept preaching it, and he kept preaching it, and they rejected the message of the spokesman. Your spokesman today is Paul. You see, I'm just preaching the same thing Paul preached. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. I'm not recreating the wheel. I'm not changing anything. I'm just preaching what he preached. He preached death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm preaching. The lights are going to go off. It's going to be good. Surgeon. I'm just preaching the same thing Paul's preaching. Are you rejecting him? Have you already accepted him? Do you know who your spokesman is? Noah's the first one. And I don't have time to go to another one. Man, I really wanted to get into Moses. We're going to start with Moses next week. We'll start looking at them. But I do want you to understand there's a spokesman in every dispensation of time, and I want you to kind of grasp that a little bit and try to kind of look at things that way as you're studying the Word of God, as you're reading things. Look and see who the spokesman is and see where it fits. If you'll do that, it'll help you a lot. I promise you. It will kind of open things up for you. That's the reason why I am particular about dispensation so much, because if you take things out of context, you're going to end up with a problem, and you don't need to have that problem. You just need to look and say, this spokesman is talking about this. He's talking to these people. It's just like we talked about in James. It's very clear, right, to the 12 tribes. Makes sense to everybody. It's got application, but it's to the 12 tribes. We know who he's talking to. We know why he's talking to them, right? If you know that, guess what? James is a great book. If you don't know that, then guess what? Boy, your salvation's fixed to change. Everything's fixed to change. Same way with John. You know what he's talking to. You know who he's talking to. You know where it's put in its place, right? We talked about that last week. If you weren't here last week, come talk to me about it. You might not like it either. They look like they didn't like most of it, so it's all right. Well, I hope you got something out of it this morning. Like I said, we'll kind of finish up next week on different spokesmen in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and then we'll go from that point. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thomas, close us out, please.